I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. If you'll join me, please, in the call to worship. It's in your blue hymnal, number 661. We'll follow in unison, or in according to the guides. We gather as pilgrims on a journey of faith. Shine in our hearts, O God, with the light of your love. Make your presence known through Jesus the Christ. Amen. As we've been doing, as you know, for over a decade since the Iraqi war, lighting this peace lamp as a symbol of God's light in the many, many dark places in the world, as a symbol of hope, as a reminder to us that God is with us. And I thought, since this weekend we've been marking Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy, it might be nice to think about the words that I have in your bulletin here that he said, that darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And he lived and died those words. Let's remember that too. Let's begin with a hymn. Oh, yeah, it's number, what is that? 396.
Please rise and turn in the blue book to number 396. The work is thine, O Christ.
The work is thine, O Christ, our Lord, the cause for which we stand, and being thine will overflow its flows on every hand. Yet grains of wheat before they grow are buried in the earth below. All that suffering thou, O Christ, didst go unto thy throne above, and leadest now the selfsame way, those true in faith and love. So lead us then through suffering way, till we share thy kingdom's heavenly state. Thy
Nobody's here by accident this morning. We want to welcome everyone, especially if we have any visitors with us or people who are back after being away or anything like that. We'd like to especially welcome you to this little corner of God's kingdom here in State College. I think we do have some visitors.
I'm Gloria Horst Rosenberger, and my sister Carolyn Brubaker and I would like to welcome our brother Galen Horstmartz and Jenny, his wife, and children Emma and Hans from Germantown Mennonite Church.
You're very welcome. Is there anyone else? Well, let's pass the peace to each other. I just want to say a word about passing the peace. It's not really just a social time to greet your friends and say, hi, how, you know, glad you're here. It's more a spiritual moment of, we all need peace. We need peace in our world. We need peace in our lives. So let's actually look at the people around us as we greet them and wish them peace. Peace be with you, or shalom, or and respond and you as well, rather than just, I'm glad you're here. Okay, let's share one another and greet one another. You can get up and move around. Even though we all want peace, we find that we fall short an awful lot of the time with who God calls us to be, who we want to be. Let's join together and read this prayer of confession that you'll find in the bulletin. Reconciling God, who holds the brokenness of the world in a vast embrace, restore us to your side so we may offer healing and hope beyond our borders. In the name of Jesus, amen. Speaking of beyond our borders, today is World Fellowship Sunday, and you'll notice a few little differences in the service today. The main one being that we're not following the lectionary readings, but we have two special readings from the New Testament, and we're going to be focusing today on the kingdom of God. So don't be surprised when you see that. And to begin that, Nell is going to come up and tell us about something very special that's happening this summer.
When I came in this morning, I was reminded of the song of, I was looking to the visuals, that Jesus loves the little children, all the colors of the world, and you can see all the colors are represented on the banner, and all the colors are represented on the table here. And that's what World Fellowship Sunday is all about. It's a large gathering of the Mennonite community around the world. And on the insert in your bulletin, there's a little story about everything, so you can take some your time to do that. But at this point, there are 1.7 million Anabaptist people in this world in 83 countries. And the most amazing thing of that is, if you look back on the history of the Mennonite Church, is that 68% of these people live in the global south. So the American European churches are on a down, membership-wise, are on a downswing, while the churches in South America, in Asia, and in Africa are on an upswing. Each 6 years, these Mennonites from all over the world try to get together, one way or the other. The first Mennonite World Conference was held in 1926, and that was to celebrate the 400th anniversary of Anabaptism. And I can tell you that my father was involved in that World Conference in 1926. Since then, they have had the conference approximately every 6 years. Of course, there was a big hiatus during World War II. The conferences are held alternatively in the north, in the global north or in the global south, hopefully. It's a little hard to have them in the north these days because it's very hard for people from the global south to get visas to come into the United States. So they're working very hard on that for this particular conference. I happen to be attending four of them. The very first one I attended was in 1957 in Karlsruhe in Germany. The second one I was at was in 1967, and that was held in Amsterdam in Holland. Then we were in Winnipeg in 1991, and then in Paraguay in 2009. And if you think that a conference is a dull kind of thing to do, with lots of business sessions and lots of talking about issues and that sort of thing, then you have to come to the World Conference to get a little different perspective on what a conference is like. When people come back from Lorville, they often say, oh, the singing, it's just wonderful. It brings you right up to heaven. Well, if that brings you up to heaven, you come to the World Conference, it will bring you up to the seventh heaven. I mean, the music is just absolutely spectacular. And the days are really filled. It's just one inspirational get-together. And just the idea that you are there together with people from all over the world and all worshiping together in different languages. It's always translated from French, German, and English. All three languages are used. And so the days are really filled with worship services, with music. There are choirs from all over the world. There are musical groups. In the afternoon, there are workshops, there are interest group meeting, and of course, there's a lot of just talking going on between people because you see people that you know from all over the place. So I would really encourage you to have a look, to have a look at the website of the Mennonite World Conference and see what this is all about. The conference this year is being held from the 24th of July 21st to the 26th of July in a very glamorous place of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And it's going to be in the Farm Show building. So if you have ever been to the Farm Show, you know where it's going to be. The registration is interesting, too. If you go on the website when you can register, you will see that there is a difference in the registration fees for those attending from the north and those from the south, because they obviously cannot afford the same prices that we can, so that the north, the richer north, is helping the poorer south with the registration. And there's also a place, when you do register, that you can add something as an extra gift for the travel fund for those who would like to attend. So we are going to show you a little video clip about the World Conference, and I hope that you all go to the website and register. It will be a lot of fun. I mean, it's a wonderful experience.
Mennonite World Conference, a communion of Anabaptist-related churches linked to one another in a worldwide community of faith for fellowship, worship, service, and witness. Although members of Mennonite World Conference live in different countries, speak different languages, and worship in different ways, we are part of the body of Jesus together. and together we're doing what none of us could do alone. Each of our congregations is a community of Anabaptist Christians who gather together around a common mission to be the church in our towns and neighborhoods. Our congregations are part of groups of congregations called a national church or conference. Our national churches, along with others around the world, together form Mennonite World Conference. Each continent has regional representatives that participate in the Mennonite World Conference Board. Together, around our shared convictions, we follow Jesus. Through his life and teachings, his cross and resurrection, Jesus showed us how to be faithful disciples. As a church, we are a community of those called by God's Spirit to follow Jesus in life. That's why the Mennonite World Conference Mission Commission provides resources for witness and service and helps member congregations and agencies to partner in spreading the good news of Jesus. As member churches of Mennonite World Conference, we accept the Bible as our authority for faith and life. We interpret the Bible together through the Holy Spirit. Our Faith and Life Commission helps churches communicate about Christian faith, practice, and witness, and helps us to develop relationships to seek God together, locally, internationally, and cross-culturally. We're peacemakers because the Spirit of Jesus empowers us to trust God in all areas of life. But being peacemakers isn't easy. So our Peace Commission provides a conversation forum where churches can consider peace-related questions and projects together. As a worldwide community of faith and life, we break down boundaries of nationality, race, class, gender, and language. Our Deacons Commission pays special attention to the welfare of Mennonite World Conference churches worldwide, especially during difficult times, walking alongside them and connecting needs with resources. We gather regularly to worship, to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and to hear the Word of God. And every 6 years, we gather together to see Christ in a more complete way as a global community. Our next global assembly is July 21st through 26th, 2015. Anabaptists from around the world will gather in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, USA, for singing, Bible studies, small groups, a global village with music, art, and food from around the world, learning tours, sports, and activities. To find out more and register, go to mwc-cmm.org/PA2015. Who is Mennonite World Conference?
It's you!
Kamu.
Apre?
It is tu!
Me!
Yo!
Yo!
It's all of us!
Somos nosotros!
Together! Juntos!
Together!
Thank you.
Mike and Gabrielle have something special for the children, a special time if the children want to come up to the front, and I'm sure it's going to be exciting.
Welcome, everyone. Good to see you all this morning. Okay, so in the beginning was the Word. Who knows where that's from? Any guesses? Maybe the Bible, ever heard it there? Right? It's at the very beginning of John. That's what it says. In the beginning was the Word. And Gab's got some words here she's going to read for you, and then we'll talk.
So I'm going to be reading some words off, and all these words mean the same thing. And Mike is going to be over here drawing a picture, and then at the end, once I'm done reading them, you can guess what the words mean. So the first word is manzana, or sieb, or eiffel, or jabloka, or apple, or palm.
Any guesses?
How many guesses? Apple. Good job.
Very good.
Yep, so all those words mean apple.
Nice.
All right, we got another one.
Go for it.
All right. Mono. Quenda. Munki. Avisiana. Efu. Sanga. Any guesses? Monkey, good. Just gotta finish. Very good, very good. All right, and we've got one more. Casa, shala, ti, dom, house, or maison. Good job.
Very good.
Very good.
So, who told you that this was a picture of an apple? Nobody, right? You just knew. You look at it and you say, all right, I see lines on a page. That's an apple. But you didn't know what any of those words were, right? Maybe some of you haven't learned how to read yet in English, but I certainly don't know how to read in any of those languages, and yet we all know what an apple is if we've seen an apple before. And some lines on a page become an apple. And so there's a lot of things that seem different as we look around the world at different cultures. You know, we look different as people. We speak differently. We have different customs. But there's some things we all do. We all laugh, right? You ever wonder about that? How do all people know how to laugh? Nobody taught you how to laugh. You just laugh, right? You know, how do we all know these different ideas and pictures and art and whatnot? That goes across these different cultural lines. And Jesus is the same thing. That's why he's the Word, right? He's the same for all of us. He came for all of us. He died for all of us. He loves all of us. And he's all the same. So hopefully you guys can remember that Jesus is the Word. And he's the same for all of us no matter where we live on earth. And we can all connect around him. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you for coming. And I thank you for coming for all of us, for loving the whole world. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to focus on those things that we can all gather around rather than to notice the differences, Lord. Just bring out those amazing similarities that connect us all as people. And I pray that you would be with us today. In your name I pray. Amen.
It's time for the morning offering, and Andrew and Jeremy or Allison, which one of you is going to help? It's Jeremy.
Thank you.
Let's pray. God, you give us everything, and we can just give back a little. We can give back from our money and from our lives. Please accept this offering as a token of our love for you, and use it to bring forth your kingdom. Amen. Okay, we're going to follow along in the bulletin now. We'll have Karen's going to do the scripture reading, and then Elaine will be bringing us the morning message.
Our readings today are both from Matthew chapter 6, from the Sermon on the Mount. First, verses 9 through 13. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. And 25 through 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it's the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today.
Good morning. May the peace of God be with you. Thank you. Well, this title, What in the World is the Kingdom of God? It was assigned to commemorate today, World Mennonite Sunday. And we usually take our scriptures from the lectionary, but they chose this surprising passage for today, and I still don't know why. I've read it many times in the last week, and I don't know. And actually, this is a passage that P.G. Woodhouse wrote a very funny story about the idle rich. So let me read it again. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father You need them, but seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Now, President Mennonites, President Anabaptists, who are Mennonites, Brethren in Christ, Amish, Hutterites, and Bruderhof, are all have a reputation for industriousness. So is this passage meant to be advice to stop and smell the roses? Or is it an admonition to not be overly interested in material things? People, either way, we are not in compliance with this passage. What in the world was the kingdom of God during the Reformation when Anabaptists were formed? Maybe the world, the Mennonite World Conference chose this passage because it mentions clothing, and clothing has been important in Anabaptist history. Anabaptists arose from the German Reformation of the 1500s in German-speaking countries and Holland. Their version of the kingdom of God was as a community of believers. They didn't think Protestants went far enough in the reforms from the Catholic Church on several points, including adult baptism and pacifism. They wanted to be one body, including their material things, including their clothing. Now, one interesting thing about the clothing rules is they were taken directly from civil laws called the sumptuary laws, which regulated clothing, ornamentation, food, drink, and other forms of luxury, imposing a hierarchy on consumption. And as an aside, these sumptuary laws were not just in Europe. They were in ancient Greek law, ancient Rome, China, Japan, England, maybe everywhere. Maybe it's the human condition that we make laws about that sort of thing. Anyway, Jacob Ammann, from whom the Amish get their name, was himself a tailor and would have been very aware of what the sumptuary laws were. So Anabaptists were visible by their clothing and persecuted as heretics by Catholics and Protestants alike. Every day on his marginal Mennonite Society Facebook page, Charlie Crable posts beautiful pictures of scenic places in Europe, accompanied by the most terrible captions. Here's one from Friday. On this date in 1553, five Anabaptists were executed in Amsterdam, Holland. Two were burned at the stake. The other three had recanted under torture, so they were given the lesser sentence of being beheaded rather than burned. In 1683, the first Mennonites, seeking religious freedom, moved to Pennsylvania, where they thrived and prospered. The first Amish arrived about 50 years later in 1737. They went forth and multiplied. In 1900, there were 6,000 Amish people. In 2012, there were 275,000. And how did they do that? Modern medicine and lack of birth control. So when Mike and I first moved to Belleville in 1992, I was babysitting for a friend's daughter, and many of you remember little Annie Williams. She spent the afternoon playing with the neighbor girls. When she came back, I asked her what they played. She said, "Changing churches." I said, "What is that?" She said, "Oh, they changed their clothes and their curtains." So all these hundreds of years later, the sumptuary laws are still in effect in Big Valley. So what in the world was the kingdom of God when Anabaptist was exported from the United States to far-flung lands? Maybe the World Mennonite World Conference chose this passage because it mentions clothing, and clothing has been a fraught subject when Mennonites attempted to export Christianity to other places in the world. In the early 1900s, some of the first Mennonite missionaries ran into trouble with their sending agency when it became known they weren't requiring African women to wear caps over their hair, picture that, and cape dresses. And I believe I'm paraphrasing Phoebe Yoder, who went to Tanganyika for Eastern Mennonite missions, when she confessed they were just glad when people wore clothes at all. And here's a recent account from an article historian John Sharp wrote in the Mennonite World Review. In February of 1959, Chester Wenger and fellow missionaries in Ethiopia, wearing business suits and neckties, met a delegation of Lancaster Mennonite Conference leaders at the Addis Ababa airport. The leaders were shocked, distraught, stunned, and disturbed to see such disregard by the missionaries for conference regulations that required the wearing of plain coats, especially for ministers and missionaries. According to one report, the delegates retreated to their place of lodging and wept. Lancaster Missions Board Chair called this a problem of major proportions. And just last week, Fran Oseo Asari told about a man in Ghana being denied communion because he wasn't wearing a suit. So the sumptuary laws live on, and of course I'm not making fun of those laws, because traditions last because they are important to people. It hardly matters how the traditions start. They were useful, and they were a marker of identity, particularly as German-speaking Mennonites were losing their German language. Their had been their primary church language. So, what in the world is the kingdom of God now in this time and place? Our global Anabaptist family of faith is called to live according to the values of this kingdom of God, regardless of what country, language, culture, or tribe we come from. But what are these values? I quote a Frank Peachy, I don't know who he is, who wrote in response to an article in the Mennonite in November. A huge amount of passion and energy is being consumed in the Mennonite Church over the issue of same-gender relationships. Oh, that we felt even half this much passion and concern over the issues Jesus actually did teach on. Pride, greed, selfishness, envy, wealth, self-righteousness, lust, to name just a few. And if we believe these sins are not broadly present within every church around the globe, then we have truly lost touch with reality. When Mike and I moved to Belleville, we attended Maple Grove Mennonite Church, and often on Mondays I accompanied Mary B. Yoder, who some of you knew, taking bulletins to shut-ins. And one time we were visiting a very dear elderly couple, and the man asked us about a Christmas gift he had just received, and he was really puzzled about it. So he brought it out and had it in his lap the whole time we were talking. Very disconcerting. It was a book by Rush Limbaugh. And he was so puzzled and wanted us to tell him what we thought. Rush Limbaugh seemed like a Christian, but he did not say he was a Christian. So his question was Rush Limbaugh a Christian? And Mary B. Yoder, bless her heart, said Rush Limbaugh is a rabble-rouser. my question, though, and I've wondered about this ever since, what was the chain of events that made that lifelong Mennonite man think that Rush Limbaugh must surely be a Christian? And I'm blaming Christian radio and television from the world. Well, I just like a new idea as much as anyone. Gay people getting married, no problem at all, because it was a long time ago that that was a new idea to me. But when a Mennonite isn't a pacifist, that I don't understand at all. However, it isn't for me to decide who can be in our church. We as modern Mennonites are not going forth and multiplying in the same numbers that Amish people still do. We can't just excommunicate people for practically no reason anymore. And most importantly, this is not my table. This is God's table. I'm a waitress at God's table. Fortunately, our church has no dress requirements, because I was wishing for an occasion to wear this fabulous shirt that I got while thrift shopping in California this summer. Thank you. In the worlds of Mennonite World Conference, the Anabaptist groups in North America are quite diverse, each striving to faithfully follow Jesus in multicultural settings. We are grateful for every congregation that is part of our global Anabaptist family. Together we support each other and learn from each other so that each and every one can be stronger servant and witness for Jesus Christ. May it be so.
Krista is going to lead us in a time of sharing and prayer. Now for the benediction. go out from here as workers in God's upside-down kingdom, where the last are first and the first are last, where needs are met in miraculous ways, and there is grace enough for all. And may the blessing of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit surround you and sustain you in the coming days. Amen.
We adore thee. Let's stand. We'll do verses 1, 2, and 4. Mm-hmm.